Hazrul says, these are the verses of Surah Al-Hud, verses 3 and 4. The translation reads as follows. It teaches you that you should worship none but Allah. I am to you a warner and a bearer of glad tidings from Him. And that you seek forgiveness of your Lord, and then turn to Him. He will provide for you a goodly provision until an appointed term. And He will grant His grace to everyone possessed of merit. And if you turn away, then surely I fear for you the punishment of a dreadful day. Hazrul says that in the world today, in one form or another, there is disorder prevalent in all directions. This is a consequence of man forgetting the real purpose of his creation, which is, in other words, inclination towards the worship of God, an endeavor to attain nearness to Allah, the Exalted. Nearness to God the Almighty cannot be achieved without worship. And what exactly is worship? Worship does not just entail the observance of the 5 obligatory prayers. This alone is not sufficient. In fact, to offer these prayers in a most beautiful manner is necessary. And then the right of worship is not fulfilled by just the observance of the outer or visible aspects of the prayer. Rather, it is necessary to keep God in view in every single matter. It is also required to make effort to imbue oneself in divine hue. We need to strive to make every single possible effort to follow the Usfa-i Hasana, the blessed model of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We need to keep in view the attributes of Allah the Exalted, and we need to try to mold our lives in accordance with those attributes. We need to make every single possible effort to fulfill the rights of Hakukullah, the rights due to Allah, and Hakukul Abad, the rights due to mankind. When a mu'min or a believer practices this, he becomes one who fulfills the right of worship. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, has said regarding this. That's something very strange. Has been provided as an answer to a question. In other words, so many details have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. What is the essence of all of that? Hazur says, so many details and commentaries have been written upon the injunctions and commandments within the Holy Quran, but what is the essence? So the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explains that Allah ta'budu illallah, that it teaches you that you should worship none but Allah. The truth of the matter is that the real reason for the creation of mankind is worship. Azur says, this is the basis, the foundation for the creation of mankind, that is to worship. As is said, وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinn and men, but that they may worship me. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, true worship is when man removes all hardness, crookedness, and makes the terrain of his heart as clear as a farmer clears his field before he plants his crops. The Arabs say Moram Mabatun, as colorium is ground extremely fine so that it can be put in the eyes. Similarly, when in the state of the worship, the terrain of the heart is free of grit, pebbles, and unevenness, and is so clean as if it embodies only a pure soul. This is then called worship. Subsequently, if this reformation and this cleanliness is applied to a mirror, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, if a mirror is cleaned and reformed in this manner, then one can see his countenance. And if the soil is cleansed and reformed in this manner, then fruits are born out of it. Therefore, man who has been created to worship, if he cleans his heart and does not allow any grit, pebbles or unevenness to remain in it. So then God will be seen within. Hazur says, so therefore this is true worship, that every single thing should be done for the sake of Allah the Almighty. You should level the earth in the same manner a farmer levels the earth before planting crops. Polish your heart in such a manner in which a completely clean and spotless mirror sparkles, in which your countenance is visible. When such a state is developed, then just as when a farmer well prepares his land, because of which fruits are born, similarly in your hearts, in the soul of a person, fruits, so to speak, will be born. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, until such time that apart from God, you free your heart of grit and pebbles, and make it clear like a mirror and fine like colorium, you should not rest. Hazur says, so therefore this is the matter. You need to continually endeavor to form this state. And a mu'min or a believer should not rest until he is able to achieve such a state. So therefore, in order to protect ourselves from the turmoil today, and in order to seek God's grace, there is a need to connect with God with sincerity and devotion. It often occurs that a person is not directly involved in disorder or in any kind of evil. Yet, due to the environment, he is influenced. And in one way or another, he becomes a part of that transgression or disorder. In one form or another, he becomes a part of that. Because of this, not only are rights not fulfilled, but in fact, unconsciously, he also partakes in that evil or in that cruelty. A prominent example of this can be seen nowadays with what occurs against Ahmadis in certain countries. There are some people who are completely unaware of what Ahmadiyyat is. Due to the opponents of Ahmadiyyat, they also, in particular in places like Pakistan, due to the law of the land, in many places, they utilize profane language against the promised Messiah alayhi salam, on whom be peace. This foul language is utilized and it is even attested on documents, etc. So therefore, the worship of such people is such that unconsciously, instead of worship to Allah the Almighty, and instead of attaining nearness to God, they are trying to attain nearness to these worldly people. It would appear that in the outer form anyhow, they are worshipping. But in their hearts, unconsciously, they are not actually striving to attain those virtues and pieties that Allah the Almighty has inculcated. Further, when religion is attached with worldly matters, and when corruption sets into the religion, in such cases, Hakukullah and Hakukul Abad, the rights due to Allah and the rights due to mankind, are both completely usurped. This is what we observe in the history of religions, and this is what has always occurred, that at a certain time, corruption steeps into the religion. And it is for this very reason that Allah the Exalted set in sequence the sending of prophets to people, that after the duration of a certain time passing, when that religion or faith diverts away from its true roots and its essence, when the spirit of that religion starts to disintegrate, then in order to provide a warning to the people, to reinstate them upon their true path, to establish the true spirit of worship, the prophets, obtaining guidance directly from Allah the Exalted, play a role in this way. when God the Almighty commissioned the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Through him, the correct manner and the methods of how worship to God should be performed was taught to the Muslims. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was the Insan-e-Kamil, the perfect man. Divine attributes were imbibed within him to the maximum extent humanly possible. So Allah the Almighty commanded that this messenger is a Uswa-i Husna, the blessed model for you. If you follow him, you will reach me. This is that Rasul who did not only pray the obligatory involuntary prayers as a form of worship. Rather, his every word or deed entailed an act of worship. So therefore, attain these standards of worship. Although the faith and the Sharia, the law brought by the Holy Prophet ﷺ, has been perfected, despite this, Allah the Exalted said himself, and he also made the Holy Prophet ﷺ say, that as has always been the way, that after a period of time, people start moving away from the essence, from the roots, from the foundation of the faith. Similarly, amongst the Muslims also, a state of disorder and turmoil, a state of being far removed from the true religion would also come about. Even though he is the final prophet, no prophet can come after him bringing a new Sharia, a law. His book is a final law-bearing book. But despite this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said such a state would develop when the Muslims would become far removed from their true faith. And when the state of being far removed from the true essence of the faith would reach its lowest ebb, then, in complete submission and following of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, his ardent devotee, in order to establish the faith in the world, would be commissioned by God the Exalted. He would elucidate the true manner of worship. And all of this would occur due to being the true servant of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And he would do this in complete servitude to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. But it is most unfortunate that the majority of Muslims have not understood this. And that person who is calling them to the true manner of worship, they are far removed from him. And instead, all sects within the Muslims have adopted their own ways of worship. Apart from disorder, this has not produced anything in the world, in particular in Muslim countries. But it is not end here. In fact, such persons are also becoming the means of disgracing the name of Islam. Just as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, 1400 years before today, was the Nazir, the Warner. Today also he is the Nazir, the Warner. In the aforementioned verse of the Holy Quran recited, Allah the Exalted has stated, إِنَّنِي لَكُم مِّنْهُ نَزِيرًا وَبَشِيرًا, that I am to you a warner and a bearer of glad tidings from him. Hazur says that the era of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was to last until the end of time. This is why he remains the Nazir and the Bashir, the warner and the bearer of glad tidings until the end of times. Today as well, the Holy Prophet ﷺ warns and alerts both Muslims and non-Muslims. Nazir does not only entail instilling fear. Nazir or a warner does not only mean terrifying others, but it also means to make other people aware. So once people are aware, they can save themselves from vices and performing bad acts. This is what he says, that I am the Nazir, the Warner. When one distances himself from the true teachings of Islam, one becomes the means of harming worldly and religious matters, irrespective of the fact that one may profess the Kalama, the Muslim creed, and one may profess belief. but if one is not fully practicing religion properly, then the loss he could possibly incur, he would do so. But if you understand this reality, that the one who was promised to come in the latter days, in accordance with the Holy Quran, to facilitate the nearness to God the Exalted, to teach the proper ways of worship, then you would receive the glad tidings in this world and the next. The promise, Messiah, peace be upon him, regarding facilitating nearness to God the Exalted, is stated. It is true that man cannot attain this objective without the help of a pure-natured person. Therefore, for this arrangement and accomplishment, Allah the Exalted sent the perfect model of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and then started a lasting succession of his true successors. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, as it is a proven fact, that one who is not from a farming family, he will cut off plants as he would cut weeds. Similarly, spiritual farming cannot be done in a perfect manner unless one is under a perfect person who has accomplished all the stages of sowing, irrigation, and weeding. This illustrates that man is in need of a perfect spiritual teacher. Without a perfect spiritual teacher, worship by man is such as if a foolish and unaware child is sitting in a field cutting off plants while in his assumption he is actually weeding. Do not ever assume that you will learn the ways of worship on your own, certainly not, until the Prophet teaches. The path of complete and devout absorption in God cannot be found. Hazur says that you cannot have full inclination towards Allah the Almighty and you will not be able to identify Him without this. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that the natural question thus arises, that how can this difficult task be fulfilled? God Himself has given the solution to this. Hazur says, and what solution has been offered by Allah the Almighty in this regard? The solution given by God is istighfar, the begging of forgiveness. That carry out istighfar with sincerity and devotion. While striving to follow the model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beg forgiveness for your sins. And when you endeavor to remain resolute upon never sinning again, then that will be deemed true istighfar. But this should be clarified, that the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, that He sends true successors. Allah the Almighty first sent the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then after him, the sequence of true successors was instigated in this era. In fact, until the future or end of times, the promised Messiah on whom be peace, he was a true successor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khatamul Khulafa. Therefore, one who carries out true istighfar and one who strives to attain the proper standards of worship, most surely Allah the Almighty would guide such a person. That is, if he is a follower of the true successor appointed by God the Almighty, he should follow his injunctions. He should accept the one sent by Allah the Almighty and follow the way taught by him. In any case, as the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, that God the Exalted has provided a solution for this himself, and he has said that is istighfar, the begging for forgiveness. In the second verse that I recited from the Holy Quran, in that the manner of istighfar has been taught, how istighfar should be performed. The translation of that verse is, and that you seek forgiveness of your Lord, and then you should turn to him. He will provide for you a goodly provision until an appointed term. And he will grant his grace to every one possessed of merit. And if you turn away, then surely I fear for you the punishment of a dreadful day. Hazur says, as I stated, that one who carries out true and real istighfar, Allah the Almighty guides himself. In the outset of this verse, this reality has been elucidated by Allah the Almighty, that seek forgiveness from the Lord. Seek help from Allah the Exalted, and pray and supplicate to Him that He cleanses the rust within your hearts and purifies it. Allah the Exalted then, in accordance with His promises, would help such a person. However, if it is a case that a person adopts a certain path, but then later he completely changes course, he does not remain steadfast in the performing of istighfar and does not carry out continuously, then in the eyes of Allah the Almighty, this is not true istighfar. Real istighfar is that a person implores and prays to God the Almighty to be saved from those emotions and sentiments emerging which are displeased by God the Exalted, such sentiments which become a hindrance from reaching God the Almighty. When a person acquires this standard, and he develops the capability of being able to suppress his evil emotions and sentiments, then the condition of tubu ilay, seeking true forgiveness from Allah, will be created. Such a state will be developed when a person carries out istighfar continuously and he strives to carry out the commands of Allah the Almighty. When this state is formed, then he becomes near to God the Almighty. So therefore, you should always keep this in mind, that for true istighfar and tawbah, repentance and the seeking of forgiveness, it is not sufficient to just recite the mere words and to say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But alongside this, what needs to occur is we need to make great efforts towards our self-reformation. It is this that enables a person to draw near to Allah the Almighty when he reforms his inner state. As was stated earlier also, that through this, a person obtains religious and worldly benefits. And there are also benefits in this life and hereafter. And a person becomes a recipient of God's grace. In light of this verse regarding istighfar, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, وَأَنِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Remember, this ummah, to a Muslim community, have been bestowed two things. One is for obtaining strength, and the other is for the practical demonstration of the strength that has been obtained. Hazur says that one of these aspects is to obtain the capacity, the strength, and once that strength is obtained, then a person can be saved from vices and evil. The second aspect is that once that strength and capacity is obtained, it should be practically demonstrated, that every word and deed of a person should be in accordance with the commandments of Allah the Almighty, and which become the means of acquiring Allah's pleasure. So the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that istighfar is for obtaining strength. It is called, in other words, seeking help or succor. Hazur says, seeking help from Allah the Almighty. Istighfar, in other words, is to seek help from Allah the Almighty. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, the Sufis have said that as physical strength and power is fostered through exercise, in the same way, istighfar is spiritual exercise. Hazur says, when a person carries out istighfar continuously, it strengthens a person's spiritual condition and he attains spiritual strength. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, through istighfar, the soul obtains strength and the heart achieves steadfastness. He who desires strength should do istighfar. Hazur says that a person who desires to strengthen his spiritual condition and to advance in it, he should do istighfar to the maximum degree possible. The Arabic word ghafar means to suppress or to cover. So through istighfar, a person tries to suppress or to cover those sentiments or emotions that would hinder him from going near to God the Almighty. Hazur says, if you go on performing istighfar, then a person can suppress those sentiments and emotions that hinder him from implementing Allah the Almighty's commands, and which prevent him from carrying out virtues. The details of this have been mentioned in relation to hundreds of commandments within the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that if even one commandment and virtue is neglected and not given significance, then that means you are not making full or adequate efforts. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, in short, istighfar means that the poisonous elements that attack a person in an attempt to destroy it, a person strives to overcome them. Hazur says, now what are the poisonous elements? There are the attacks of Satan, the lure of materialism and the world. There is the matter of those things Allah the Almighty has forbidden us from performing in the Holy Quran, not refraining from performing these forbidden acts. All of these entail the poisonous elements. So therefore, when one carries out istighfar, then one is saved from these poisonous elements, from these bad acts, from these vices. And subsequently, virtues will overcome these vices. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, when one avoids these impediments and these poisonous elements, and then he actually practices these commandments, is when this occurs. This should be kept in mind, that God has placed two kinds of matters. One is the poisonous element, and that is delegated by Satan. Hazur says, in other words, one is a toxic or poisonous element, and the one who gives attention and inclination towards this is Satan. This is the poisonous element. The second aspect or element is the remedy, the cure. How those evils can be cured and the remedy for that. And both of these aspects are found within a person. Within a person there is the poisonous element and also the remedy. There are vices within a person and there are also virtues within a person. If you do not suppress the vices with your virtues, if you do not seek shelter and come under the forgiving hand of God the Almighty, then those vices will become dominant and all-encompassing. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, when a person is arrogant and conceited and does not take the help of the remedy aspect, so then the poisonous element becomes dominant within him. Hazur says, when you do not carry out istighfar, then the negative elements overcome the heart, but these can be halted through the means of istighfar. When a person is arrogant and believes himself to be of any value, and does not seek help and succor from the spring of remedy that is istighfar, then the poisonous elements overcome the person. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, but when a person considers himself humble and meek, and he feels he is in the need of God's help and succor, at such a time, God generates a spring within him. Through this, his soul is softened and flows out. And this is what is meant by istighfar. Hazur says, therefore, true istighfar is when the soul and the spirit completely melts. This softening and flowing of the soul is not by merely verbally professing istighfar, but rather it is when one performs istighfar with passion and heartfelt emotions. This is true istighfar. And when this occurs while tears are flowing in the eyes of the presence of Allah the Almighty, this develops a revolution within a person. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that, in other words, this means that when one obtains that strength, he overcomes the poisonous elements within him. Hazur says, as was stated earlier, through istighfar, a person obtains strength. Such istighfar provides strength, which is performed with heartfelt emotions and passion, in which a person is crying and weeping such that tears flow from him. That istighfar is a true istighfar which inculcates a revolution within a person. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, in short, this means that the spirit of worship is formed. Firstly, obey the Rasul, the Prophet. Secondly, always seek help and succor from God. Indeed, first seek help from your Lord. When the strength is granted, tubu ilay, then turn to God in forgiveness. Hazur says, in accordance with the way taught and inculcated by God the Almighty, one must obey the Rasul, the Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So therefore, whilst one seeks help from God the Almighty and submits to him, he must obey the Rasul, the Messenger of Allah. If a person remains completely submitted before Allah the Almighty, seeking his help, then such a state will be developed, which is the state of Tubu Ilay, when one turns to God in forgiveness. This should be carried out so Allah the Almighty accepts his tawbah, his repentance, and the person is unable to refrain from carrying out vices. Elucidating Tubu Ilay further, the promised Messiah and whom be peace says, istighfar and tawbah are two separate matters. From one point of view, istighfar has priority over tawbah or repentance. Hazur says, in other words, istighfar, seeking forgiveness, is before and of more importance than tawbah, repentance, because istighfar entails help and succor obtained from God the Almighty, and tawbah, or repentance, involves standing on one's own feet. Hazur says that istighfar comes first, through it a person obtains help and strength. To acquire this, a person cries before Allah with tears flowing out of his eyes. One's heart is purified of every type of impurity. So this is a type of istighfar, and this comes first. That ask of Allah the Almighty first. When this occurs, then the second step a person takes is tawbah, repentance, when a person stands on his own feet. A person continuously, perpetually, for the sake of tawbah, repentance also, whilst doing istighfar, he also needs to preserve his tawbah, his repentance. This tawbah should not be performed merely ceremoniously, as is often occurred nowadays, where they raise their hand to the ears and just say tawbah, tawbah. In fact, first obtain strength through istighfar. Then when you attain that level and standard, where the nearness to Allah the Almighty is acquired, and a person's inclination is towards virtue, then carry out tawbah. So when this is achieved, in order to preserve it, istighfar is necessary. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, it is a way of God that when a person seeks help from him, he bestows strength. And with that strength, the supplicant stands on his own feet, and thus possesses the faculty to do good. This is called tubu ilay, turning to God. This is a natural sequence. It is appointed for seekers that they should seek help from God in every single condition. Until a seeker obtains strength from God, he can do nothing. The strength for repentance or tawbah is acquired after istighfar. If there is no istighfar, then know surely the faculty of repentance dies away. If you will thus follow up istighfar with tawbah or repentance, the result of this will be set out in the verse, يُمَتِّعُكُمْ مَتَى أَنْ حَسَنًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, that he will provide for you a goodly provision until an appointed term. The promised Messiah on whom he peace continues, this is the sunnatullah, the way of God, that those who follow up istighfar with tawbah or repentance, they will achieve the cherished grades. Every sense has its limits. Hazur says, in other words, every strength to obtain anything, the capacity to acquire, to obtain, to search for anything, that has boundaries and limits, within which it achieves its high grades. Azur says, in accordance with one's capabilities and capacities, he has a limit and he has a boundary. Within that boundary, every single person, he can achieve certain grades of advancement and progress. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, not everyone can be a prophet or a messenger, a truthful or a testifier. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, but there is no doubt whatsoever, there are the different stages of grades. Azur says, indeed, it is correct that not every person can reach every stage. And some stages are superior. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, Allah says further that each seeker attains grades and stages in accordance with his capacity and also his capabilities. Hazur says, in other words, in the endeavors that Allah the Almighty has inculcated, if you go on carrying them out in a permanent endeavor and make every effort, so this means to go on making efforts in a continuous fashion. This is what this means. Every person who is making efforts to obtain God the Almighty in accordance with the capabilities and capacities that have been assigned to him, he will go on surpassing stages and ranks within that boundary. This is the meaning of the verse, وَيُوتِكُ الَّذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلًا, that every person who possesses excellence, he will be granted blessings by Allah the Almighty in accordance with his capability. Every person obtains religious and spiritual blessings in this life, and he also receives it in the hereafter as a result of this excellence. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, if a person makes excessive efforts, then Allah the Almighty, due to that, will also give him an excess. Azur says, it is down to Allah's grace how much he provides to a person, so there is Allah's grace running alongside. And if Allah the Almighty wants to give beyond his grace, then as a result of istighfar, as a result of tawbah, Allah the Almighty can give the person in excess. And that would be as a result of those strenuous efforts. But the condition is effort should be made, and istighfar and also tawbah. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, then the person will acquire the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty according to what he is due. The construction Zil Fazl is of Maliki. Azur says, Allah the Almighty is the master, he is powerful. It is as a result of him that he gives in excess. It is not only as a result of somebody carrying out efforts. In fact, Allah, being the master, can give in excess as much as he so desires. But still, this is also true, that to those who carry out istighfar, those who carry out strenuous efforts, God the Almighty undoubtedly does provide them with blessings. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, the construction of Zil Fadl is Maliki. This means Allah the Almighty will never keep one deprived. He says, some people say, do we have to become a Wali or a holy person to do this? Such people say that are lowly people. In other words, they are sinners and disbelievers. It is suitable for a person that he works according to the law of nature. Hazur says, Allah the Almighty has made a law. He has left the door of istighfar and tawbah open. We should utilize that, and we need to strive in this regard. So therefore, endeavor to the maximum extent you possibly can. The rest is left to the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty. In accordance with the capacity and capabilities of a person, Allah the Almighty rewards or blesses them. After this intellectual and religious discourse, I shall now say a few words about the assemblies and gatherings of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Within the gatherings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, people would ask questions. In one of these gatherings, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has clarified and elucidated the significance of istighfar. There is a narration in this regard that a person questioned that what vazifa should I read, that is a oft-repeated set prayer. Azur says, in those days it was quite customary for people to enthusiastically read vazifas. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam responded that read istighfar profusely. Man has only two conditions, either he does not commit any sin or Allah the Exalted saves him from the bad end of the sin. Azur says there are two conditions within a person. Either to not perform a sin, or if he does carry out a sin, and he realizes he has made an error, then Allah the Almighty should save that person from his bad end. So the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, therefore, both these meanings should be kept in mind when reciting istighfar. Hazur says, when you are reading istighfar, you need to give due regard to both meanings. This is a most major vazifa. First of all, a person should not carry out a sin. He should pray to not carry out sin. But if he does sin, then the bad end should not manifest. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, firstly, covering of past sins is sought from Allah the Exalted, and secondly, capacity to be protected from future sins is sought from God. However, istighfar is not fulfilled by mere verbal utterance. It should be carried out from the heart. It is important to also supplicate in one's own word during salat. Hazur says, so therefore, this is the purpose of istighfar, that a person begs forgiveness from his sins and to be saved from his sins. And for that purpose, we need to reflect deeply upon the commands of the Holy Quran. In one gathering, a person arrived. Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, was also present in that assembly, and he was aware of that person who had arrived. So that person met Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, and he presented that person before the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that this person has gone before many peers and ascetics, etc. But now he has come here. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said to him that, what do you want to say? So he replied that, Hazur, I have gone to many peers, ascetics, but I have certain flaws or shortcomings in me. First of all, whichever elder I go to, I do not remain convinced of them, and then I leave them due to being not convinced. Secondly, I have the habit of backbiting within me. Thirdly, I am not inclined to worship, and also I have many other deficiencies. Hadad Aqdas, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, responded, I have understood, your real problem is impatience. The rest are all byproducts. Azur says, the actual illness or ailment within you is impatience. The rest are all conditions. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, look, in worldly matters, a person does not display impatience and he remains firm and steadfast until he receives his end result. Then why does he demonstrate impatience in the presence of God? Does a farmer sow his seed and start thinking of the harvest in just one day? Or, when a baby is born, does one say that this newborn baby will grow up immediately and begin to assist me? So there is no precedent of such examples of rush and haste in the law of nature established by God the Almighty. One who wishes to work with such haste is extremely foolish. Such a person should consider himself fortunate, who can observe his flaws as actually flaws. Hazur says, such a person is very fortunate, who can realize the ailments that he has within him and the shortcomings. So the promised Messiah says, otherwise Satan shows bad deeds and immoral acts in good and a beautiful light. Hazur says, it is a great quality when a person identifies and realizes that I have such and such shortcoming within me, because Satan goes on with his work and he displays bad deeds as something good. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, give up your impatience and with steadfastness and also firmness seek capacity from Allah the Exalted and beg forgiveness for your sins. There is nothing apart from this. A person who comes to the people or friends of God wishing that they may blow on him and reform him, he wants to govern God. Whereas this should be approached submissively. Unless one leaves all worldly powers, nothing can be obtained. When an ailing person goes to a physician, he relates many of his problems to him. Hazur says, a person goes to a doctor, he explains his ailments to him. But the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says the physician recognizes and diagnoses the real problem, that this is the actual problem, and then he starts the treatment of that illness. Similarly, your problem is impatience. If you cure that, then if God so wills, then all your other problems will also be abated. Our creed is that man should never lose hope in Allah the Exalted, and should continue to seek until he is at the throes of death. Until his last breath he should go on carrying this out. Unless a person takes his patience and seeking to the very limit, he cannot be successful. Hazur says, in short, this is the standard of patience. that until a person's last breath, he goes on endeavoring in this regard. The promised Messiah, in whom be peace, says, Allah the Exalted is powerful, and if He wills, He can make one successful. Hazur says, it is not necessary that you go on making efforts until the last breath. Allah the Almighty is all-powerful. If He so desires, from just one prostration, from your first supplication, He could answer your prayers. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, but true love requires that a person remains engaged in those efforts. Hazur says, in other words, a person continuously runs or walks in that direction. Sa'di has written in a Persian couplet. In this Persian couplet, Sa'di states that if it is not possible to reach that friend, then the foundational prerequisite or condition of love is that you should die in longing or in search of that friend. Hazru says, you should die still in search or in longing for that friend. So the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that there are two kinds of diseases, one mustavi, straight or direct, and the other mukhtalif, diverse. Hazru says, one is mustavi, the straight or direct, and the other is mukhtalif, diverse. There are two kinds of diseases, one is called mustavi, and the other mukhtalif. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says a mustavi disease is that which has apparent pain. Hazru says, if a person has excruciating pain and he feels it acutely, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says a person is concerned about the remedy for such an ailment, but he does not have care for the mukhtalif disease. Hazru says, there are some concealed ailments which a person does not have much concern for. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, similarly, there are some sins which are perceptible while others are imperceptible to a person. This is why it is needed that a person always engages in istighfar with Allah the Almighty. Allah the Exalted sent the Holy Quran for reformation. If it was God's law to reform by just blowing, why would have the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, endured so much persecution for 13 years in Mecca? He could have influenced Abu Jahl. Hazru says, he could have just prayed and resolved the issue. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, let alone Abu Jahl, Abu Talib even had love for the Prophet. Hazru says, Abu Talib loved the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Despite this, he did not become a Muslim. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, in short, impatience is no good. It can lead to destruction. Once in an assembly of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, a person requested prayers of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, regarding a debt. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, responded to the person who had said that the debt had accumulated quite high, that say istighfar profusely. This is a method for a person to avoid grief. Hazur says, to abate grief and sorrow, this is the method that recite istighfar. That is, in order to abate griefs and afflictions, you should recite istighfar. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, istighfar is the key to progress. Hazur says, in other words, your key to advancement is through istighfar. So, therefore, only istighfar will unlock the doors of progress. In terms of the type of istighfar, that has been mentioned already, that a person should sincerely and devotedly carry out this istighfar, which will open the doors of progress. Once a person asks for prayers that he may be granted children, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, say istighfar profusely. It effaces sin, and Allah the Exalted also grants offspring. Remember, belief is very important. Hazur says, that is, if you are reciting istighfar, then you should also have perfect belief in Allah. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, God himself helps that person who is perfect in belief. Hazur says, at another instance, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, a person should say istighfar for protection against weaknesses. Istighfar works to avoid chastisement of sin, like a prisoner pays a penalty to secure his release. At another instance, the promised Messiah alayhi salam, counseling, said, certain people have the brunt of bad deeds, and this is a result of their actions. Mayamal miskala zarratan shayriyara. It is necessary that a person always engages in istighfar and tawbah, lest bad deeds exceed limits and incur the wrath of Allah the Exalted. When Allah the Exalted looks on someone with His grace, He usually instills that person's love in hearts. Hazur says, when Allah's grace descends on somebody, then Love for that person is embedded within people's hearts. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, however, when man's evil exceeds limits, his disapproval is decreed in the heavens, and in accordance to the will of Allah, the people's hearts are hardened towards him. Hazur says, once Allah has decreed, and he does not want to descend his grace upon him, then people's hearts are also hardened towards that person. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, yet as soon as that person turns to the divine threshold with his istighfar and tawbah and seeks refuge, tenderness is generated in a concealed manner within the hearts of people without anyone realizing, and a seed of love for that person is sown in the hearts of people. When a person becomes hard-hearted and he is not receiving the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty, and Allah the Almighty is displaying displeasure towards him, then people's hearts are hardened. But if that person says istighfar and tawbah, then God the Exalted accepts that istighfar and tawbah, and as a result, in the hearts of people, compassion and mercy towards that other person is formed, and also love. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that the seed of love for that person is sown in the hearts of people. In short, the formula for istighfar and tawbah is tried and tested and does not fail. Hazur says that today, the vices of the worldly people that is prevalent in different nations, that has caused turmoil and disorder everywhere, those leaders who are in their own presumption believe themselves to be the beloved or the favorites of the nation. In the eyes of the nation, they are considered the worst of all people. These people believe they have preserved their position and their status, and they still consider that we are the beloved and the favorites of the public. The indications are such that their turn is imminent. As a result of the disorder and turmoil that is prevalent in the world, governments have changed, and this has caused further turmoil and disorder. How much this disorder will increase is known only to God the Exalted. Therefore, we should pray profusely to Allah the Almighty to save the world from this disorder. Hazur says, therefore, where istighfar fulfills the purpose of worship, where it gives inclination towards the fulfillment of Hakukullah and Hakukul Abad, the rights due to God and the rights due to mankind, where it becomes a means of establishing a strong bond with the one commissioned by Allah the Almighty, where it saves a person from the disorder of the time and also the chastisement and anger of Allah the Almighty, where it enables a person to tread on the path which is a path of attaining nearness to God the Almighty, which caters for a person in this life and the hereafter. So there, it also fulfills a person's personal needs and alleviates him from his personal concerns, as I mentioned many of the accounts in relation to the advice of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. And through istighfar, a person also becomes the recipient of countless blessings and rewards of Allah the Almighty. God has blessed and graced us Ahmadis that we have recognized the Imam of this age, who has guided us about worship and seeking God's nearness and how to accumulate and garner His blessings. However, in order to derive true benefit from this, we need to constantly engage in istighfar. Every Ahmadi should take this to his heart. May God the Exalted grant us all the ability to do so.